God bless you, Brother Rich.
We'll grow strangely dear in the light of glory and grace. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
We now shut in with God in a secret place.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, getting new power to run in the
tonight, Lord God. Praise your mighty name. Glory to your holy name, Jesus. Oh, how we long to be with you, God. How we long, God, to make love to you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, inhabit our praise tonight, Lord Jesus. God, from the pulpit to the pew, God, let the Holy Spirit just woo us and bring us to a greater experiential knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Praise your mighty name, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your mighty name. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Run in the race. I long to be shut in with God.
One last time. Amen.
Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. There
turn over to Jeremiah 31 and 3. Praise the Lord. Without the Spirit, we can't understand the Word. Amen. Praise God. That's why He's known in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise God. If we just were in the Spirit all the time and never studied, then we couldn't understand Him. If we were in the Word all the time and studied, but weren't in the Spirit, we couldn't understand Him. Amen. That's why God's a God of balance. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and 3, then we're going to go to Ephesians. I want to talk about a love relationship and work in the trip to India with this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Ephesians 3, 13 through 19. Ephesians 3, 13 through 19. Amen. When you were dating, you drew your mate with wooing and with love. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 3, 13 and 19. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. Bless tonight. Bless the word. God, use this mute trumpet, Lord God. Just push out what you want to be said tonight. God, let me draw. Let us all draw on you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that you're here tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. A relationship with him, then you know what the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And you know what the love of Christ is, what path it passeth all understanding. Amen. When you're in a love affair or a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And it says that there's no fear in love. There's no fear in a love relationship because perfect love casteth out all fear. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Jesus knew that it would be something that we could come in contact with here in the flesh with a love relationship to be able to understand, amen, the heavenly love relationship. Amen. Amen. There's songs that say it. Enter in. Amen. Come in, Holy Spirit, overshadow me, woo me, amen. But you can only really sing that with experiential knowledge if you're in a loving, caring, and a deeply passionate relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Both in the physical, if you want to go that direction, and in the spiritual. Amen. And so I'm a passionate man with Jesus Christ because I am his bride. Amen. I welcome him and want him to overtake me. Amen. I want to be in that secret chamber where he and I will commune. Amen. I want to feel his love. I want to get his love gifts. Amen. Because then I truly know his nature. Amen. I truly know him. And he talks to me. Amen. We have communion with one another. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, I want to talk a little bit about India and how that trip was ordained of God, and with the trials and the tribulations that went on with it, I could only go and do that because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, my God. Amen. And you go through trials and can only know that you're going to come out right on the other end because you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. No head knowledge. Amen. But we have a heart knowledge. Amen. Which looks at the word and it goes right together every time it's fitly put together in one, because God is a God of balance. Amen. Praise God. Brother Branham says that how we do err when we try to ignore his word. Amen. That's not a love relationship, folks. Amen. When we try to skip over and jump over those things that are a little hard, like trimming your hair just about that much, or cutting your hair 6 inches, or looking at dirty magazines, or chewing or smoking or whatever, or lying or cheating. Amen. We don't want to be those that skip over that word. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't want to be like that. Amen. That's for those that don't want an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. They may say they do, but their actions speak louder than their words. They're not in the inner chamber with my God being impregnated with the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to come out of there heavy with child. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to be pregnated and over and over and over again so that Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so this trip, we knew it was God's will because we prayed about it when asked to go on it, and because I never wanted to go be a tourist in India. Amen. And now that I'm back, I really know that I don't want to. Praise God. Amen. Our dirtiest streets are awesome compared to there. Amen. Those of you who've been there. Amen. And you start to give out money to one and you got a swarm around you. So you just don't do it. Amen. You pick your battles. Amen. You pick the people you want to give to and then you get out of there real fast. Amen. Praise God. But we prayed and knew it was God's will. And so inside, because of being in that inner chamber with Jesus Christ, I was able to know that I know that I know that I was supposed to go. Amen. And when we're doing something for Christ, we better know that it's Him. Amen. Whether we move into a new church or out of a church, or we come in and we're going for a new job or a new school or whatever the matter is, we must know it. And that comes by relationship with Jesus. And so Brother Branham said that we do err when we try to ignore the Word, and also we limit God's power by our imagination. We have to not rely on the imagination. And I tell you what, when I got to Ohio and was ready to fly out, when they told me I couldn't go because I didn't have a visa, amen, the devil started to bring on imagination. I'm thinking, oh man, what's going on? I've never had to have a visa before. No one said anything about it. No travel agent, nothing. And I didn't bother to check it out. And so I'm there in Dayton, not going anywhere. And what had happened is that on the way to the airport, Charity's writing me a love letter. And she wrote a scripture in there, which was the catalyst for all the trip. And she didn't even know it. Amen. That's why we do things once in a while where we don't know what God's going to use with it. Amen? And so she had written down. So she reached in my bag and says, oh, wait a minute. Here's something. I wrote it down. And it's Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, and the Lord, He it is who doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. Amen. And so I lost count of how many times I was quoting that scripture. Amen. Praise God. Because I didn't know what was going on. But God had His plan, because right then and there, Doug Sievert says, we've had someone cancel for this Sunday. That was the next day. We need someone to preach. And I said, okay, God, we'll step through that door. And so we go down there, we preach the gospel, and a couple comes up, and she has brain tumors that they found on the MRI. Amen. And we laid hands on her and prayed for her, and I believe she's healed. And they had been praying for someone to come through to preach faith to be healed and have hands laid on them. Amen. So you see how in that love relationship, that was manifested not only for me, but for them. Amen. God was in control. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, if we are a son or a daughter of God, amen, then your disposition and your attitude changes. Your look towards others change because of regeneration. Amen. And your outlook towards situations change. Amen. fear becomes put on the back burner. Amen. It's always out there and you're tempted to use it, but with the relationship of Jesus Christ that's on the inside of the inside, perfect love casts that out. Amen. My disposition on this trip was changed. Amen. My attitude towards what the devil was trying to throw at me changed. I know that when I go on these trips, something's going to happen. Amen. I'm used to it now. Amen. Something always happens. But he always says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you're in relationship with one another as husband and wife, it takes that experiential knowledge with one another to be able to say those things to one another when circumstances rear its ugly head. Amen. To be able to say to one another, honey, we're just going to stay right here. Amen. We're going to pray through till we know what the will of God is. Amen. And then your wife says to you, honey, I don't know. I don't feel right about this. Let's pray again. Amen. Praise God. Everything changes when Jesus comes to stay. Amen. Everything changes. And I tell you what, without the word of this hour, we wouldn't have the fullness and the wonderful, passionate experience and word that this word of the hour has brought to us and has made this Bible a new thing for us. That's how come when he is wooing us in that inner chamber, amen, we can trust him and we know that he knows what he's doing. Praise God. He knows what he's doing. Amen. He's in control. Praise God. That's because we've been regenerated. Amen. We haven't been kind of washed up. Amen. It says to be washed by the water of the word. Amen. They haven't taken that cup out of the manure pile in there and they're not washing it. He's not washing you with a wet or a dry cloth. He's washing you with the detergent that it says in this word that needs to be washed with. Amen. Praise God. And then when he cleans you up and fills you up, you are used in his purpose and you're used for his desire. His desire, not you. That's why when we come to church, we don't come to be entertained. Amen. I've watched them. When the people are up here playing and there's a little bit of a beat, amen, and the people start swaying and they stop singing, amen, they're being entertained. But when we come and we worship him. Amen. We give our sacrifice of praise. That's where the love making begins. Amen. Amen. And then that preacher is able to get up here and deliver the word of God. And that's saying, just sick him. Amen. It's saying, come on, let's join ourselves together. This word, the anointed word, and the people that are there, and God is going to move. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, get to New York. And I get up, and a brother up there, Chris Van Arty, some of you know him, he picked me up and took me downtown and dropped me off at the Indian consulate. And so I put in my application, I'm down there, and he goes, oh, I got to go do something, so you could just walk around. So I'm walking around Manhattan and doing my thing, and of course my mom's worried I'm going to get mugged. But I didn't. It was just like walking around Portland or Salem. I didn't feel unsafe at all, so I thought I'd get in the spirit of things and went in and ate some Indian food, and which, if I knew what I was going to run into, I would have went to McDonald's, amen. But because after your third or fourth day of curry, chicken, and rice, amen, there's no wonder that people lose weight. Praise God. So I turn in that visa, but all through the day, I had time for the devil to anoint my thoughts. What if you don't get it? You're going to have to take another flight. $2,000 more, this and this and this and this, all day. But I kept saying that Deuteronomy 31:8, he is gone before me. That scripture was not by accident. Amen. It says, be not dismayed. Amen. It says, fear not. And so I walked around, and my mind and my mouth were tired by the end of the day. But I tell you what, I had a resolve. Amen. I had a resolve on the inside that says, I'm not going to give in to fear. Amen. I'm not going to give in because it was ordained that I come on this trip. Amen. And so I'm not going to give in to what the devil has for me. Amen. I'm going to give back that box of rattlesnakes. Amen. I'm going to give back what he tries to give because I have been with my Father. Amen. I know his ways. I know his nature. I know how he whispers in my ear. Amen. I know his love secrets that he's given to me. Amen. And I tell you what, we get back there in the afternoon and everybody's up in an uproar and there's hundreds of people there and that come in and out of that consulate. And what happens is that a brother, Tony, a pastor in New York, he comes to pick me up to take me to the airport. And so I said, 15 more minutes. I just, 15 more minutes. God has ordained this trip. And they bring in like two or three batches of these visas from the consulate. And they get them in. And finally, at 6:45, we're just going to leave. Finally, at 6:45 in the evening, they bring in one more batch. The last batch of the night. And I look in there and my name is in there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I go up there and I'm just about ready to fall over. I'm so happy. Amen. And they get that. And I grab it and I said, Brother Tony, let's go. And so we had to get out of there, go pick up my luggage and go to the airport. And I was the last person that they let on the plane. Amen. Praise God. And so I just got on the plane. It's like, wow, I don't even care that I'm in the middle of two people. Amen. Praise God. I am on my way to India because he said, be not dismayed and fear not. But I tell you what, it was always saying, be still and know that I am God. Amen. You're on this trip for a purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That comes from a relationship. God said that he wanted to redeem us back for fellowship and relationship. He doesn't want to redeem us back for fire insurance. Amen. He doesn't want to redeem us back for a one-way relationship. Amen. He doesn't want to redeem us back just for a little bit of casual interaction. Amen. He wants to redeem us back for that intimate relationship that comes in that inner chamber. Amen. Because you remember that those that were in the inner court, that their fire, that those candles could still be blown out. But it took being in and ushered into the holiest of holies to where that is where the communion was. That is where it could never go out. Amen. And that's why with that kind of relationship, every trial that you go through as believers, God will raise you up and will put you through that, knowing that you will do the right thing, knowing that you will hang on no matter what the circumstances say, because you know the nature of your husband. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it has to become personal and satisfying to us. Amen. I want my relationship with my wife to become personal and satisfying. And I know that she does too. So I want to nurture that relationship. Amen. I want to leave the notes on the dry erase board out in the garage. Amen. Praise God. And then I come back and I notice that there's an eraser mark through the middle. And then I know that we've had company. Amen. Praise God. I said, what are you doing? Are you ashamed of that? She goes, well. And so I know that there's company. And then also I look in my Bible and there's little notes. Amen. And they're uplifting me. Amen. But I like that. Amen. Because I want a satisfying relationship. I want to know that she loves me, that she doesn't look and think about other men, and I want her to know that I don't think about anybody else and look at other women. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants. He doesn't want a casual relationship. He doesn't want us looking at other possibilities. Amen. He doesn't want us to say, boy, it's been 25 years and, you know, I just might go back to the Baptist church. Or it's been 25 years. Does God really exist? It's been 25 years. Do you think he's really the prophet to this generation? It's been 30 years. I think I'll go back. It looks like the charismatics have a lot more fun than we do. No, he doesn't want that. He wants you to be convinced. And all of those groups, there's awesome people in there because I work with those people all the time. Amen. And they love God and all the light they know. But I tell you what, if you've been with Jesus in the fullness of this knowledge, this experiential knowledge of this hour, then you are going to be convinced. Amen. You are going to love to be wooed, and you're going to be loved to go home with Jesus and to be intimate with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You won't be able to wait to be able to talk with him and enter that love chamber with him. Amen. And see what he has for you. Amen. I tell you what, with a real experience of Jesus Christ, that regeneration, this Bible has become new. Amen. Those tapes have become new. Amen. And now I know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that he is the healer of all my diseases. I know that he controls my relationships. I know that he controls my eyes. He controls my ears. Amen. When I'm at work in the middle of every wicked and perverse thing, I don't have a desire to look at the nude women. Amen. I don't have a desire to listen to those things. My desire is unto my husband. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. And so, we get to India. And again, my train's delayed in Calcutta. Amen. I talked to Brother Godwin Andrews. Amen. He started giggling when he found out I was related to Debbie. Hallelujah. He said, say greetings to you folks. And the train was delayed, and I was supposed to be there and preach that Wednesday night. And I'm just saying, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. Amen. So I get in there to the first week's meetings, and I get in there that night just in time to help pray in the prayer line. Amen. And God did many things there. That we went to a Pentecostal holiness camp the first week and a free gospel camp the next week, where they haven't heard much at all about the word of the hour. Amen. And so Brother Mike Sievert said that it was going to be virgin territory, and he was right. Amen. Not only because they didn't have a lot of experiential knowledge of things, but then you're dealing with all the Hindus that show up because they want a blessing or they want to see a miracle. Amen. And that presence right there hinders things. Amen. And so you have to know beyond shadow of doubt that you're supposed to be there. Amen. And so when you're at work, when you're at school, or in a relationship with someone, you got to know that you're supposed to be there. You have to know. Because you will be defeated if you don't. Amen. It takes that experiential, mature knowledge of your Father in heaven. Amen. That you know where you stand to be able to go through these trials. And those trials are hard. Amen. They're hard. Things happen to you that you think you're going to break, but you don't. Amen. People say things to you that you think will just send you into depression, but you're not. Amen. And that comes by that relationship that has been brought to us. And if we didn't have the full revelation on this word, we'd be just like everybody else. We would be questioning, does he really love me? When he's in there in the chamber with me, is he really having the kind of time that I would want him to have? Amen. Is he this? Is he that? Will he do that? That's where everybody else is at. And you bring up predestination to someone out there in the nominal church world, and you just scare them almost out of the room because they know that they're not living the full gospel. I see it all the time. I see fear all the time in my friends' eyes because they don't know that they know that they know. They know him. They know the baby Jesus, amen, but they don't know the adult Jesus, hallelujah. They don't know the full and the mature gospel Jesus like we do, hallelujah. And so we're there with that pastor, N.K. Doss, and he comes up after the first night, wraps his arms around Brother Mike Sievert and cries and says, we haven't heard these things for 40 years. Amen. And so he starts feeding on it. And Brother Mike and the other minister that was with us were bringing out things out of the message. Amen. We're bringing truths out. And he's just being, he becomes more hungry and more hungry and more hungry to the point of he preaches about the bride. Amen. And the heavenly bridegroom, the last day. And then I get up there and I'm preaching about marriage and the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then Brother Mike gets up there and preaches on the 10 virgins. Amen. And the service was about 5 hours long and the people sat there. I couldn't believe it. Amen. But they were hungry because they hadn't heard that before. And so who shows up on the last day? They're overseers that haven't been there for 15 years. And we greet them and we meet them. And when we left, they went up to him and says, "What are they doing here? Why didn't you invite me? Why didn't this? What's going on here?" And they grill him. Amen. Hallelujah. But he just stood still and didn't get nervous. Amen. He just explained what was going on. But you see, the devil didn't like it. And a couple different times in those meetings, we had oppressed people fall on the ground and start flopping around. Amen. And it was distracting. Amen. And both times, when God led us to do it, we went up there and bound those spirits and they stopped. Amen. But the devil was mad because someone with relationship, with a love affair with Jesus Christ was in town. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we endured the mice in the motel room. We endured the cockroaches. Amen. We endured the big old rats that were like that long plus the tail. Amen. We endured those things. And I thought, these people live with it all the time, so why should I get freaked out? Amen. Praise God. I don't want to seem like a foreigner. But when we got out farther in the country, you couldn't help it. Amen. A lot of them hadn't seen what a white person looked like. Amen. Especially a fat, bald one. Amen. So, God manifested himself with a unity in the preaching. Not only in Jasidi, which was the first one, but also in Faizabad. Amen. There was a unity in preaching. And I tell you what, it's the sovereignty of God, but in both places, someone witnessed a great light hanging there in the tent. Amen. We knew that we were there by a divine revelation, but it was just another sign that said, yep, you're in the right place at the right time. You've become intimate with me. You've listened to what you wanted me to do, what I wanted you to do, and I'm here. Amen. Praise God. And people were healed. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know that we're going to get more testimonies from there. Praise the Lord. And so it must become personal with us, and it must become satisfying. Because if I couldn't serve God and be satisfied, why do it? If you're here tonight or on video or wherever you're at, if you're just satisfied, don't do it. Don't make yourself miserable. Go pop a beer and smoke a joint. Amen. Have fun. But I tell you what, if God is calling you to make a decision for him and you know that he's calling you, then do it all the way. Amen. When the trials come as you're going through justification, sanctification, gift of the Holy Spirit, press toward the mark of the high calling of God and do it all the way. Amen. Because usually when people are desperate, that is the point where they want to do things all the way. Amen. Praise God. When you're going to get married, you want to do it all the way. Amen. You want the honeymoon. You want the house. You want the picket fence. You want it all. Amen. You want happiness. Amen. You want to make that relationship satisfying. And so if I couldn't serve the Lord, the living God, then I would still be out there gambling and drinking. Man, don't be miserable. Either become part of him or don't. But don't waste the pastor's time and don't waste God's time. Amen. He's serious and he wants us to be serious. Amen. God, it's a spiritual warfare, folks. We don't fight flesh, we fight spirits. Amen. And that is why we have to serve Him in spirit and in truth, because we must recognize those things of the devil that are the onslaught that are coming against us in this Laodicean age. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, when you come back from those foreign countries and you get back to the Sea of Laodicea, you know it. You can feel it. Amen. Praise God. Because you're out there, you're praying, you're under the anointing, you're doing things that God wants you to do. Amen. And then you come back and you come off the high. Amen. Praise God. But you know that that is what God is wanting you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're in Fizabad, the second spot, and you got monkeys all over the place. I mean, I asked them if they had a zoo, and I'm thinking, that was a dumb question. Why do they need one? They have cows out in the street. They have monkeys. I mean, they have tigers. What else? But you have to dodge all the bulls and the calves and all the cows sitting around in the road. And then they're going. They say, we got all this road. Why not use it? Amen. And so they're all going, it's a two-way street, but they're all going this way, and then you got all the others trying to go that way. And it's a real madhouse, amen. And so, Fizabad, we learned that there was no leadership there. We learned that people that had been, gave their heart to God 2 years ago, they had not even been baptized. Amen. We learned that things were going on with the money that was sent that wasn't right. Amen. And so no wonder. And so guess what? Hard things had to be said. Amen. We had to confront that pastor and say, hey, you're backslid. No one's ever talked to him like that. You need the Holy Spirit. What's going on here? These people need to be baptized. If you're not baptizing them, it's on your head. I tell you what, sometimes you have to get in somebody's face. When I'm at work and something happens and I'm at fault, I want someone to get in my face. I don't want to say, well, Rich, you know, maybe next time you might not want to do that. It's like, no, hey, Rich, you messed up here. Here's here, here, here. Okay, go back and fix it. I'm going, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to fix it. Amen. And so sometimes you have to do that to wake up people. Amen. And because if you let an opportunity go by when God is showing you that you need to say something, then you're responsible. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we had to do hard things. And we had to get in there, and some of the music wasn't quite right. And so we had to have a minister's meeting with all the musicians, the ministry, the song leaders. And I tell you what, after that meeting, a lot got something out of it, but some of them were not too happy. Amen. But it had to be said. That rock and roll spirit, amen, was there, and it wasn't right. In fact, the song leader said, hey, brother so-and-so, get these people in the spirit. And I'm kind of looking over because I was going to be preaching that night, and it's like, wow, one more thing to distract. Because you got goats running through the tent. We had a bull that came in and ran around the tent. I mean, you have people running around on the outside, people on their cell phones. The pastor one night was even talking on a cell phone on the stage. You talk about distractions. The devil was trying to distract and try to make me be defeated. Amen. But guess what? We knew where we stood. Amen. We knew what kind of relationship we had with God, and we knew that by divine inspiration we were supposed to be there. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, we went ahead and preached. Amen. And people were helped. Amen. Praise the Lord. People were in the altars. Amen. Those pastors that came in, they were helped. Amen. We gave them the correct method and the formula for baptism, and they were helped. Amen. Yes, the musicians were kind of ouching. Amen. The next day, and the song leader kind of pouted and wouldn't come back. Amen. But I tell you what. Amen. Things that were said had to be said. Amen. And they were. Amen. Because I tell you what, folks. Anything. When they were sitting there playing one night, this hymn, I'm sitting there thinking, I know that hymn. I've heard it at work. And it's not a hymn. It's a rock and roll song. It's like, okay, I remember. And so I'm like, oh, man. These people are not getting anything out of the song service. And then they really got into it with the drums and the guitar. And Brother Seaver went up there and tried to unplug the guitar on him. And... It was like, oh boy, here we go. We're going to have a fight on our hands. But I tell you what, they got the idea. Amen. And the music improved some. But I tell you what, a little testimony from Nicaragua. A boy who was up on stage a few years in a row at the camps down there. Brother Mike had to talk to him. Tell him, until you get the Holy Spirit, I want you to sit down because what you're doing is not right. You're distracting. And those people out there that you're leading, it's on your head. Amen. And that boy took that to heart. He repented with tears. Amen. And now today, he goes into the mountains there when the group goes down. And this last time, when he got up there, there was a new place that they went to, and there was those drums beating. He just put down his guitar and went and sat down. And after the service, they go, what happened to Alan? And he had to tell him. He goes, I don't play that kind of music. I don't want to be responsible for that kind of atmosphere. Amen. I don't want to do that because he has the Spirit of God and he knows what is wrong, what the beat is wrong, what that music is like, and it doesn't identify with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And so he's had a satisfying and personal relationship. Amen. And so what God did for us is that on Calvary, he went to Calvary for us. Amen. And all he asked us to do is believe it. Amen. All he wants us to do is just believe him when he says, I love you. Amen. All he wants us to do is say, I died for you. I want you to be with me in paradise, in heaven. Amen. He says he shows his love through his word. Amen. And so if we never read it, then we don't know what he's saying to us. Amen. Right. Amen. He wants us to know that relationship is by new birth. Amen. We cannot enter into his kingdom without that new birth. Amen. We can't educate ourselves. We can't associate ourselves. We can't do anything in our own self-righteousness. It must be by a new birth. And some of you might be saying, boy, you sure are a Pentecostal. Well, I'm a Day of Pentecost Pentecostal. Amen. And Brother Branham mentioned over and over and over again, you must be born again. You must have a new birth. You won't be able to be with him in heaven. Amen. You won't even be able to understand this or the tapes without the new birth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how will I know when I got the new birth? You will know because you'll stop looking. You'll stop listening. You'll stop sweeping stuff in the corners or under the carpet. You'll start opening up the doors and vacuuming behind the doors. Amen. Things will just change. Amen. And you'll want to be in his word. You'll want to be a part of him. You'll want to make love to him every single day. Amen. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so when we move into perfection, all our ideas and separations don't have much use anymore. That's another key. I tell them at work, I love you. I can fellowship with any of you. Amen. I can go anywhere to any church and fellowship with any person. Amen. Because I have been intimate with my Heavenly Father. Amen. I know where I stand. No one can talk me out of it. Amen. Because I have experiential knowledge of Him. Amen. And so if you're tempted to separate yourself from other message believers or other churches, amen, I tell you what, amen, we need to get a little bit more intimate with our heavenly lover, amen. If we separate ourselves off right then and there, it shows that something's not right, amen. And it takes the other person to draw that bigger circle around them, amen, to say, well, no, I'm not going to let him or her go. I'm going to love that person, amen. And so when you mature into a love with Jesus Christ, those things don't really matter that much anymore. And so I don't care if someone sees me with a Catholic brother. I don't care if someone sees me with an evangelical. Amen. I know where I stand. I'm there to be a light. Hallelujah. And if they ever ask me to preach, I'm going to go. Amen. Because I want to, if it only is a thimbleful, I want to put that in and have them think, yeah, that's right. Amen. If it's only that, I want to do it. Amen. And so, perfection comes by relationship. That's where perfection comes. In your marriage, amen, in your relationship, that relationship itself brings perfection. Amen. It brings honing. Amen. Your wife is chiseling off the hard edges. Amen. Your husband is chiseling off the rough edges. Amen. I know that the wives probably don't have any of those, but it's usually the man, it seems like. And so that's where character is built. Praise God. And it's in a relationship that those things are exposed. And that's why when we're driving down the road and she says something to me and I say something back, and I said, that's all right. You know, if you think it's this and that, that's all right. And she goes, were you even listening to me? I said, why? I said, I think I was. And then she says, oh, well, here's what I meant. Da 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 da. I'm going, whoa, I guess I wasn't. Man. Amen. But that's where the relationship hones and builds us. Amen. It brings us into a more perfect union. Amen. Hallelujah. So at least we can go and start laughing about it. Amen. That's the thing. You got to be able to laugh at yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Not take things personally. As I've said before, you got to develop that rhino skin that's about 6 inches thick. Amen. So, we're in those meetings. God is moving. People are being healed. Amen. But most importantly, the untruths, the traditions, and the partial word of God is being exposed. Amen. And I tell you what, those men and women that were in that meeting, they got a dose of the full strength gospel. Amen. Praise God. Both those meetings, those people, they were saying, we haven't heard that before. And they were saying, oh, it's so good that a preacher was given personal examples. We've never heard that before. It really helped us. Amen. And talking about how the cup was in the manure pile and God lifting it up and bringing it inside and washing it up and filling it up. They hadn't heard that before. Amen. So we kept hammering home that. Amen. Because God had spoke to my heart and said, cast the net. Amen. And so all the ministries dovetailed together and people were helped. The devil was exposed. And so we left there in India feeling good that his purpose was accomplished. Amen. Praise God. Cancers were healed. Amen. I tell you, that albino disease, I don't know the name of it. One woman, she had it all over her. And she was one of the ones in the second meeting who saw that bright light hanging there in the tent. And God started healing that already in the meetings. Amen. Praise God. I got to meet the boy who was healed last time, who was a deaf mute, had never spoken before. But the first words out of his mouth was, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, when God's word is being preached, then signs are going to have to confirm it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll try to finish up here. So, fear not. Amen. Fear not. Fear not. Be not dismayed. The whole time I'm going through that in this trip. Be not dismayed. Fear not. Amen. When we're on the train and the cockroaches are running up the walls, I'm saying, fear not. Don't worry. When you have to open your luggage after the trip, fear not. Amen. Those things gross me out. Fear not. I'm with you. I'm going before you. So we had a confidence that God was in control there. Amen. So we knew that God was going to change hearts. And I tell you what, when you teach someone to fish instead of giving them a fish, amen, that's one of the best things you can do. Amen. And that brother N.K. Doss, amen, we left him with a lot of material. Amen. I had my church age book and he goes, what's this? And I said, oh, well, it's a book I'm reading. You can have it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so he started reading that. Amen. But most importantly, he watched our lives. Because I guarantee you, other missionaries had been over there, but they watched their lives and they didn't see anything in it. Amen. But they were watching someone who had been with Jesus. Just like the disciples, they said, We know what you look like, but we recognize how you've been with Jesus. And that's what their comment was, that we are different. There's something different there. There's something is not like everybody else. And I'm going, praise God. It's because of that love affair, that love relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we got back to Bombay and we all three split up and preached there. And I went over to a Brother Samuel's church where the tape library is at in there in the Goa area. And we started preaching. And I tell you what, after all that demonic oppression and distractions, the interpreter and I, oh man, we felt like we were making love to Christ just the whole hour we were there. Amen. It was so easy to preach. We were moving in and out of the Spirit of God there, preaching the gospel. I could take off the locks of my mouth and preach like we do here in this church. Amen. And the interpreter, he got so excited, he started saying amen to what I was preaching. He's going, oh, I got to interpret. Amen. But God was blessed there that day. People were healed. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. And it was a good day to be with the Lord. Amen. Because we were around other saints of like precious faith. And so as we finish up tonight, Brother Brown talks about three rooms in a house. The kitchen, the parlor or the front room, and the bedroom. And this is where the right kind of relationship is developed and completed. In the kitchen, you eat. Amen. Praise God for that. You eat. You're together. You're eating good food. And he likens that to being at church. He likens that feeding on the good word of God. Amen. And so that's why we need to come expecting that the table will be full. Amen. We have to come expecting and eat. Amen. And take away the food that's going to feed us. And so we're there feeding on God's word. Amen. In the natural, you and your family, your wife, amen, you're feeding on food. Well, when you're done, you go over into the parlor. Amen. And he also likens these the justification, sanctification, gift of the Holy Spirit. You go into the parlor and you sit down and you have your sweetheart set on your lap. Amen. And you put your arms around her, he says. And then you start talking about what you're going to do for her. You start wooing her, amen. You start telling her those things that lovers tell each other, amen. And you're just there communing with one another, amen. And by the word of the hour coming and bringing this Bible, he's able to woo us and give us the kind of love words that no one else can give us. Amen. You talk about, I'm all lightheaded and giddy, amen. Praise God, because of the full gospel that he's given me. Praise God. Amen. When my wife says stuff to me, I still get that tingly feeling right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because we're wooing one another. Amen. We're in there telling each other things that are true about each one of us. Amen. And he's wooing you not with all sparkly and sweet sloppy words, but things that are true about you. That's what's happening there in that front room. Amen. But then we proceed for a full and complete relationship. And that can only happen when we abide in that relationship in that inner chamber. Amen. Praise God. That's the only place where a union can be made, amen, is when you and your Father in heaven come to that point, amen, and you become one flesh, amen. You have been impregnated with His Holy Spirit, that deposit for the fullness that we're going to see on the other side, and children are produced, amen. And so, as a union in the natural, we know things have happened because children issue forth. And in the spiritual side, we know that we've been with Jesus because other Pentecostal babies are issued forth. Life proceeds out of us. Amen. In this end time age of Laodicea, when we're impregnated with that Word of God, filled with that Holy Spirit, then other people are birthed because of us. Amen. Amen. as we look up and wave that token in the devil's face, amen, at the same time, we're charged with the Word of God and His literal life, and it's on display, amen. On one hand, we're fighting the devil, amen. On the other, we're birthing new saints into the kingdom of God, because we know that we've been with Jesus, amen. And the righteous love righteous things, amen. Those that have been with Jesus love His things, amen. And those who are bashful and don't want to go in to that inner chamber, those are the ones that are going to be those goats that He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they were ashamed of the Holy Spirit. They were ashamed of the gospel. They didn't want people to see that they had a union with their Father. Amen. They don't want people to see that their relationship is in the same vein as somebody else's. Amen. They want to masquerade that they're believers. Amen. But when the little bride of Christ joins herself to that heavenly bridegroom, amen, watch out. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Amen. You talk about boldness, not in the flesh, but by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You talk about believers then. You talk about Christians. Amen. You will see that you will be able to defeat the devil because of the life and the Word that God has given you. Amen. And I guarantee you, those that have not been with Jesus will never do that. Hallelujah. But it's those that want that full union. It's those that want to bear children. Amen. It's those that want other people to have the same opportunity as them. Amen. When you get around people with a good marriage relationship, I watch the other people that are around them. They want to be there. Amen. They wish they could have something like that. But it's a testimony. Amen. It's not only for your benefit, but it's a testimony of that life going out to others. Amen. And so those that want that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ will have it. It will produce what it says. So fear not, little flock. Amen. Fear not on the DVD or the tape or wherever you're at. Amen. Fear not, because if the union is there for you to have, then you will get it. Amen. He provided the opportunity for the union to happen. And so when you make that decision to serve God, then go through the whole process. Don't stop. If you're tempted, go get somebody. Have them pray with you. Amen. Have a mentor. Have somebody there to be your, to hold you up in prayer. Amen. But don't stop going up the ladder of salvation. Amen. Go on in to the glories of the Lord. Go on in to full relationship. Go on in to a full union with Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He will not fail you. Praise God. Amen. Let's have the musicians come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is, He is good. Amen. He's alive. Praise the Lord. As it gets darker, I don't get sadder. As it gets more evil, I don't get discouraged. I'm tempted to, but I don't. Amen. Because I've been with Jesus. And I look at you out there and I know the looks on your face who's been with Jesus. Amen. When we were there in Faizabad, those men and women were so happy. By that third or fourth night, they've seen Jesus. Amen. Their countenance changed. Their eyes lit up. Amen. They had a fervor like they never had before. Amen. Because not that we're anything, because we're not. But it was the anointed Word going forth, exposing the error that the devil brought in. Amen. And it was giving them hope, Godly hope. Amen. And so that's what I love being a part of. I want to spread hope. Amen. I want to give hope. I want to live right at work. I want to live right in front of others. I want to be a part of what God's doing in this hour. Amen. And if it comes to the point of being thrown in jail or persecuted, then I know that my flesh may not enjoy that too much, right? But I know that He'll give me the grace to go through it. Amen. He'll give you the grace to go through it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand and sing that again. Shut in with God as the song leader comes. Amen. Tonight, if you need to make a recommitment, maybe your fire's kind of died down a little bit, but you heard something tonight to say, hey, I like that. God, you know my situation. Amen. Then just where you're at, make that commitment. Amen. Just touch God right there. And if you need the Holy Ghost, He will give it. Amen. And so if you want the Holy Spirit, then where you're at, I want you to kneel down. Amen. I want you to pray and be serious about it if that's what you need. Whatever you have need of, if you need healing tonight, amen. Then if you can have the faith, then right there in your seat, believe for it. Because Brother Branham said that whatever promise of God he has, he's eager to meet it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not going to do it. We'd be here all night. But we could give testimony that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So let's just glorify God. Amen. To be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face.
Measure of the Holy Spirit in that fivefold ministry. Purpose of that ministry is to stir your heart up. Now, I sat in my seat, my heart was stirred. How many could say the same thing? God stirred your heart up. God was saying, you know, I need just to be a little bit more fervent in my walk, in my desires, and Lord Jesus, forgive me where I've been any bit spiritually lazy. And God, take that out of my heart and my life. And if you've been in sin, backslid, then I want you, let's all just bow our heads for just a moment. Because Brother Branham said that when the rock is laid on a plant for a while, you can remove the rock, but the plant doesn't straighten up right away. So tonight, the preaching of the word removes the rock. You say, oh my Lord Jesus, forgive me. I've been critical, or I've been lazy, or I've had a wrong attitude. I've looked at things wrong. And Lord, your Holy Spirit has convicted me. And now the rock has been removed. Lord, I've been backslid. I've maybe blamed somebody else. Or all the human excuses in the world. But one thing for sure, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I want a cleansing. I want a burning and a purging way down deep on the inside. And I want nothing of myself. All I want is Jesus. And I want anything that's like this world or any attitude that's unlike Christ, I want it away from me right now. So while every head is bowed, how many would say, Brother Jeff, everything you just said I agree with, and that's what I want. Would you raise your hand? Lord Jesus, God, first of all, I pray for those of us, Father God, we've heard from the evangelist. Stirs our heart up. And God, we want to just, Lord, renounce all those demons of slothfulness right now. We want to ask your forgiveness right now. We as individuals right now want to ask your forgiveness. Each one of you are praying right now. Father, forgive me for my spiritual laziness. Forgive me for my dullness of spirit. Forgive me for not being on fire and not being fervent. Forgive me for not being zealous. Forgive me for not being even spiritually prepared today to hear the word of God. God, forgive me. So I pray, Lord Jesus, each one that is praying, that God, you would forgive us where we have been slothful, where we have been in any wise spiritually lazy. And I would ask while our heads are bowed, because the moving of the Spirit moves very uniquely with the evangelist. So if there's anyone here that would say, Jeff, you know, I have got to make a commitment to serve Jesus with all my heart. I've never made a full and complete commitment. And I want to do that now because God has spoken to me through that evangelist. Would you raise your hand? And I just want to pray for you as well. If there's anyone here that says, I want to make a complete commitment. God bless you. God bless you. There's two. Anybody else? We're going to pray for you right now. All right. Now, those of you that made that commitment, what I want you to do is remember, if you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then that's your next step. We think about that minister that Brother Rich talked about, who people who were hungering in his church, and he never baptized them. And furthermore, they were baptizing wrong. They were Pentecostals and they didn't understand the word. And just living under a Pentecostal light, they were even backslid from that. But you're sitting under a light of a word that when you obey the word, God promises to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So your next step is the water. It's the water. Your next step is the water. In fact, God is not obligated to show you one more thing or reveal one more thing to you until you obey him and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've repented and you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and you know what you heard tonight was the truth, you felt the presence of God, then that's good. You've repented. Then don't stop at repentance. Go on and be baptized. And then the Bible says, the Lord says that there's a promise that he makes with those that are baptized in water. Those that are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Christ will come and live in you. You won't be living your life. He'll live his life through you. And so if you're tired of living your life, what you need is the Holy Spirit living his life through you. And those of you that have the Holy Spirit, but you're not yielding like you should because you're not in tune with the Holy Ghost, then your next step is to say, God, get me in tune with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm out of tune. Get me back in tune with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, the two that raised their hand to make a thorough and complete commitment, I pray, Father God, for them right now. I pray that, Lord God, as you already met them tonight, by the preaching of the word of God, their hearts were convicted. And now, Lord Jesus, it's just a matter of them making the next step to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to do that, you just let me know and we'll baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be tonight if you so desire. It can be this Sunday coming up if you so desire. But I would make that your next step. If you've repented, then you need to talk to somebody who needs to tell me, or you can come and tell me or one of the deacons somehow. Get the word to us, because we want to get those baptismal waters ready to obey the word of God. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, to your children, and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what happened tonight? God called your name. He wants you to come into the inner chamber with him. He doesn't want you out in the outer court. He wants you in the Shekinah glory. And right there in the inner chamber with him. Not where the candlesticks, where the candles can go out and get dark and gloomy. But right there in the Shekinah light. That's where you want to be. Filled with the Holy Spirit. If there are those of you that have not received the Holy Ghost, you pray until what, Brother Jeff? How long do I pray? Until you die. Pray until there's a death. Pray until there's a crucifixion of this flesh. Pray until you can say desperately, Lord, I'm going to stay here until there's nothing left but ashes. because I'm not leaving this altar, Father, until you've consumed the sacrifice. Ask God to take everything that is unlike Him out of your life. Listen, let's just face it. We know it's a late hour. And the longer people linger and put off and put God and straight arm God and stiff arm God and put God away and put Him in distance, the longer they linger, the harder it is to ever come back. I would urge you that if you've just been casual with your relationship to say, Lord Jesus, I want fire. I want fire. I want that experience on the inside. Listen, you've heard from the evangelist. God has convicted you. Now march forward. Tomorrow you'll have an opportunity. Tonight you'll have an opportunity to be able to seek God in prayer. I would do that. I would go home and I just wouldn't eat a bologna sandwich and go to bed or have a glass of milk and a cookie. I'd get on your face. And I would seek God. I would say to your dad or to your mom or to your husband or to your wife, I'd say, honey, I need some quiet time. I need to go seek God. Because I don't want what took place tonight to wear off. I don't want to just be under the anointing of the preacher. I want the anointing on the inside. I want to take this and be it permanently with me all the time. I don't want to come to church and hear the Word of God, say amen, and then never change. I don't want to just hear the Word of God, agree with it, and acknowledge it intellectually, and then go out and live in sin and compromise. God, I want this out of my life. And I want Jesus in my life. Father, I know that Brother Richie described a lot of people tonight. And I know that I just described a lot of people tonight. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, for every one of us here, that God, we will seek you with all of our heart. Do that every single day. As we said at the onset of the service, the Pilgrim Fathers, they just got a brand new Bible. And it was special to them because every one of the Bibles beforehand had been burnt. Now we have Bibles and we have books. And some of you young people have never heard a tape of Brother Branham's. Some of you have never, ever listened to the prophet, never heard a message. You need to be in those tapes. You need to be hearing that prophet. That purging voice of the prophet of the hour will be good for you. That purging voice of the prophet of the hour will take and condemn sin in your life. That purging voice will bring you revelation and truth to your heart. That's what you need to be in. You need to be in that word. Be listening to those tapes. We've told you that, but I'm taking advantage right now as a pastor. I'm taking advantage of the anointing of the evangelist to say, do it. You need to do it. Lord Jesus, God, we don't want to go home and put a pillow under our head and get comfortable. Lord Jesus, Jacob one day had sinned. And he had deceived his father-in-law, Laban, and he had deceived his brother, Esau. And now he had his father-in-law after him one way, and he had his brother Esau after him another way. And his days of deceiving were over. And now he was not soft on a pillow. He was in a rock and a hard place. He was in earnest for his own life. He had Esau coming to take his life. And he had his father-in-law mad at him. And he was a mess. And he'd made a mess out of his life. But it was when he got desperate, an angel came. And Esau wrestled with that angel, the Bible says, all night. And Esau says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And that's the way I would be tonight. I'd get home and I'd say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I would pray. Don't let anything separate you from an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've started it by repenting. You've started it by asking God to forgive you for your backslidden ways. Those of you that raised your hand to make a commitment as a person who needs to serve Jesus with all your heart, your next step is water baptism. Then I want to hear from you. And we need to then get those waters ready so that you can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the next step. Don't be shy. Make the next step. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you that you brought Richie back safe from India and restored him back to his wife and children. God Almighty, thank you for the gift of the evangelist to speak and to stir our hearts. Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you, Father God, that we have the ability to be convicted and then the ability to be changed. To take what we've heard and not just agree with it, but to ask God for definite change in our lives. So God, I pray that if there are those with tongue problems, that they'll be changed. That if there are those here right now that have eye problems, that they'll be changed. There are those here that have imagination problems, that they'll be changed. There's those here that have a guilty conscience, that they'll get their sins under the blood and make all things right. Whatever the problem is, if there's any of those senses, imaginations, conscience, memory, reasoning, affection, if they're plugged up with something, get those things out of your life. So that when the word comes forward, you can say, amen. and be able to know that God hears your prayers. Do you know that God hears your prayers for sure? Do you know that when you bow your head, God can hear your prayers? Or do you have a bunch of compromising thoughts that come to your mind? Stop it. Get compromise out of your life. Give your heart 100% to Jesus Christ. I'm not just speaking to the young person right now. I'm speaking to every one of us. Every single one of us know what it is to get slothful, to plateau, and not to keep climbing God's mountain. You need to put on your climbing gear, and you need to start climbing God's mountain again. If you plateaued, then ask the Lord to forgive you, but it's an unhealthy thing to plateau. You need to keep climbing. Lord Jesus, thank you for the time together. Thank you for everything that was provided tonight to create an atmosphere so that the Holy Spirit could move. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for the song leaders. Thank you for this place to come and to hear the Word of God. Thank you for the ministry of the Word of God. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, because you do all things well. And just as present as you were in India, you are present here tonight, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So, Lord God, we're going to seek out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. God, asking, Lord Jesus, that you forgive us for our past and help us to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Help us to press in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to a person the other day, backslid, and I said, you know what's happened to you? He said, well, you know, I've never been freer. I said, it's because you're backslid. I said, you know what you did? You took off your uniform. I said, you know, a person who's been in war, been in battle, and he's had a fight, he's been in the trenches, when he's able to come home and take off his uniform, he relaxes. But a Christian is always in the trench. We're always in battle. And I said, you know what you are? You're AWOL. You're AWOL. You're absent without leave. God didn't give you leave. You're absent without leave. I said, what you need to do is get your uniform back on and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim, would you come and close for us in a word of prayer? Hallelujah. You love the Word of God? Amen. You appreciate His anointing. Amen. To stir our lives and stir our hearts. God is good. Thank you, Brother Tim.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you send those across the ocean, Lord, to help those people, Lord. I remember when Brother Eckhart came to us and we were just asleep. Oh God, how good you are, Lord. We appreciate those that respond to the Word. Lord, we just thank you that people carry it, Lord, with the fire. And I'm always challenged, Lord, every time this brother comes. Bless him, Lord, for what he's done. Lord, we just thank you for this evening, Lord. Just appreciate to come to the house of God to be just scrubbed, Lord, and challenged, Jesus. May you make this come to pass in each of our lives, Lord. We just thank you now. We just praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.